From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live with my BFF Keon, who just woke up from a long nap.
Nope. No nap today.
Yeah. What do you think? Craziness? Too much crazy for you, I think, right?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, but I'm successfully on my island away from the craziness.
Yeah.
And you have glasses on now.
Yeah, you got to put them on. We're going to start drinking.
Oh.
It's going to be one of those.
Well, congratulations.
Dude, it's been a long 6 months.
6 months? Why are we talking about 6 months?
Because we've been doing Top Builder for like 6 months, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a 3 month cycle. No?
I mean, no. Yeah.
It's not. Okay.
Well, I was going to say, but we're going to have on our first guest, which is Marks. And then we're going to have the winner of Top Builder on after that. And then after that, Keon.
I guess we have to do the normal podcast.
We'll do the normal podcast. But okay. After that, we don't know who's going to come on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
All right, Marks, you want to come on board real quick? Thanks, Keon. So just want to get Marks on because what's up, dude?
Hey,
I feel so bad. We had you scheduled to talk and everything, and things changed. But
oh, that's right. There were some great people yesterday.
Yeah,
dude, yesterday's event was solid.
Oh, dude, it was. Awesome. Today's event looks freaking solid right now too.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you think about this crazy week that was for Austin and like Bitcoin and everything?
Yeah, I'm exhausted. So we started last week there was a local Edge City event, so we went to that, and then this week has just been all Bitcoin. Every night, late night, going out to the events, but it's been good, a lot of good signal.
Yeah.
One of the highlights was across the street, University of Austin. Have you been over there yet?
Oh, no, I haven't, but yeah, John was telling me about it, yeah.
Just catty corner over there. Parker and Drew spoke over there.
Is it recorded? Event. Was it recorded?
I think so. Yeah, they had a camera, so hopefully they released a recording of it.
I know, there's a lot of stuff I noticed like that we do in Austin that's just not recorded.
Yeah,
and it's just like no one will ever know that the amazing talk or something happened.
Uh-huh. It's like exclusive, but at the same time, maybe we can market it better and
get
more eyes on it.
Totally. Dude, but anyway, let the stackers at home know who you are, what you're building, and all that stuff.
Sweet. Yeah, so I was just a pleb. I still am just a pleb, right? But about a year ago, I came to Bitcoin Takeover, and I was working in big tech. I was working at Apple at the time doing privacy and AI, and I wanted to start working on Bitcoin because I had been a Bitcoiner for many years. So I had been using Mutiny Wallet for a while, ever since they launched. And then when I came to Bitcoin Takeover, Tony was one of the speakers there. And after hearing him speak, I was like, all right, I need to team up with these guys. So I met with Tony, actually messaged them over Noster. So, shout out to Noster. I messaged Mutiny over that, and we met up for drinks and chatted. And, kind of the rest is history there. Joined Mutiny. Obviously, we made a pivot. A lot of people are familiar with that now. But what it really was is we wanted to scale Mutiny, and we needed some kind of secure platform that we could use to scale it, and nothing existed. We didn't want to have access to user data. We didn't want to be liable for it. We didn't want people to trust us. You know, we wanted to have, don't trust, verify kind of thing. And so we set out to build the platform that needed to exist, and that's OpenSecret.
Dude, it looks phenomenal. I was talking to you yesterday. I won't give out numbers, but just the amount of people that have shown interest in it, not only people in the lab, but just like everybody around that's outside of our Bitcoin like ecosystem. Can you talk about that? And like, because I don't want to talk too much about the stuff that we talk behind the scenes, but like, I do get that sense for me where I'm just like, I'm interested in what's outside of the Bitcoin ecosystem now more than I'm interested in what's in the Bitcoin ecosystem. But can you talk about why you're looking at the greater ecosystem and how OpenSecret will exist in that kind of ecosystem?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so Bitcoin right now is entering into the mainstream zeitgeist with governments starting to adopt it. And so people outside of Bitcoin who aren't Bitcoiners are starting to take notice. And there are a lot of these properties that Bitcoiners care about, and a big one is privacy, right? And the talk I just gave at the takeover right now was about how privacy is essential for open markets and for an open society. And so when we look at the apps outside of Bitcoin, they all need to have this privacy. And as we look at how is AI going to play into this, AI agents, online transactions, apps talking to each other, we start to see that we're going to need a digital currency that is going to get all these apps and AIs talking to each other. And I think that eCash built on top of Bitcoin is going to be a big part of that. And so kind of the excitement and fervor that we have is we have over a dozen developers already talking to us. Nice. I come from the mobile development world. Prior to Apple, I was building just apps at different companies. And so have a lot of contacts there. And about half the people we talked to were super stoked about it. The other half were like, we kind of like monetizing our user data and selling it to advertisers. So we're not going to get them right away. Maybe they'll come around later. But there's kind of two things. There's one, there's app developers who care about privacy. So they're like, all in, let's do this. But then there are also app developers who realize that they're holding on to this giant liability. So user data in the cloud is a big liability. We have data breaches, and it causes a big problem for the users and for the companies. In 2024, the average data breach cost $9 million for the company that was breached, right? Some of them were like upwards of billions, but really that's a liability that a company's taking on if they are not encrypting user data at a more private level, not just at a general level.
Right. Dude, it's phenomenal what you guys have been able to do in such a short amount of time.
Anthony's a wizard, man. Plus he's using AI. He's like three developers, four developers, dude, and one now.
I was talking to him yesterday, and Tony, don't get mad about when I say this, but I'm so inspired by him. I don't know how else to say it other than just that. Like, he's somebody who I talk to that I feel like just gets me the way Keon gets me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so inspired by that guy.
Oh, yeah. Anthony, he's great to work with because he will think through things before giving you a response and before, like, acting on anything, right?
Right.
He's not just one of these people that, like, if you say it, he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be sweet. Let's just code it up, right?
Yeah.
He'll hear what you say, and he'll tell you it's an awful idea if it's an awful idea. But if not, he'll, like, actually think through it. So I really appreciate how genuine he is about things. And
he's a great man. Anyways, so where can people go, Marks, if they want to start experimenting with this stuff? I know Jim from Cascader here is also going to work with you guys too as well, or maybe already, I don't know. But like, how does that process start?
Right. So really the first thing is to go to our AI that we have. So if you want to pull up trymaple.ai.
Okay.
This is a way, because secure enclaves in the cloud and like what we're pitching with Open Secret, it's kind of a difficult concept sometimes to grasp. Okay. But you as a user can go try it out. So if you go to trymaple.ai and you just start chatting securely, you create a free account, you get free service kind of like ChatGPT, except it's end-to-end encrypted. And so you get to experience like a private key encryption, encrypted data sync to all your devices, and you get to see what your end user would have, right?
Amazing.
And what you'll notice is that it feels like exactly the same as a traditional app. It doesn't feel any different, except all of your data is private.
Dude, look at that pricing. How could you ask for much? Like, that's such a great pricing structure there. Look at that, dude.
Yeah, we've tried to keep the price low, right?
Like, I love this.
Yeah, and we've got businesses that are using the team account. The great thing about the team account is you get to pool together all of your compute credits. So if you have one person that doesn't use it very much, another person that uses it a lot, that credit's all pooled together, and so you can have some heavy users. But we've got like accountants, lawyers. We have all sorts of different people that need confidentiality. Amazing. Life coaches. People are starting to jump into this.
And then you also have a pay with Bitcoin option for the for the guys that want to do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. We have a significant number of people that are paying with Bitcoin, which is awesome.
Look at that. Look, it's just a toggle. Look at that. turns out you can be a totally mainstream push in this direction and just do a toggle, and now you're a Bitcoin company.
Yeah, and we're giving 10% off of people that pay with Bitcoin. So that's the first place I encourage people to start, just to see what the end user experience is like. And then you're like, holy shit, this is a great user experience. But then if you are a developer and you want to build with us, you can go to opensecret.cloud and join our wait list.
Amazing.
And it's not going to be very long to wait. We're just building out the self-service portal so that they can like jump in and start going on their own. Yeah. But we're in production. We've got a production environment. We have our first developer app launching in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an eCash app with some AI stuff mixed in. It's going to be pretty dope.
Nice.
And you mentioned Jim with Cascader. He's also looking around at this thing he's doing. So,
dude, well, if you guys want to check out the code, there's the code there. If you need to go on and get a pricing, I don't know why I'm doing an accent, but there you go right there. And then also hit up Marks, dude. He's the guy.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you. I never said thank you, but thanks for doing Top Builder, like doing a workshop with us. Not a workshop, but like a mentorship. Like, thank you for doing that.
You had some great builders in the cohort this year. It was awesome.
I just appreciate you and appreciate what you've done for my friends and turning this thing around. It's phenomenal, man.
Yeah, well, right back at you. Appreciate all you're doing.
Thank you.
You're building a good community here.
We're trying.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, Stacker News. See ya.
All right, next guest we're going to have on is Oliver. Oliver, real quick, he won for the Snackers. He won Top Builder.
I have a little something here with me that I've just brought.
He won Top Builder yesterday.
Look at that. Wonderful object.
Dude, amazing, dude. Like, look, so like, I think I have it right here, but this was from yesterday. There are you. It's like, what was that feeling like, dude?
Yeah, there isn't really much I can say beyond my brain melted in real time. I didn't really know how to respond. I mean, I wasn't really expecting to win, truthfully. The competition was so
really? You weren't expecting so tight. To win?
Yeah, I didn't really know that I was going to. Wow. I was actually in the other room. I was here in the space when they announced it. And catch those beasts. And so I had to run and dash into the next room. So it was quite a crazy time.
Dude, how hard was it to go up there and do this pitch, dude? Look at you, man. Like, you can't see Stackers, go on BubLab Twitter, it's there, but how hard was it to go up there in front of that large audience and in front of those VCs and pitch like that? What is that like?
Well, I think I practiced it a lot, and that's what I think came through on the day, and that's probably why, you know, we managed to take the trophy home. It's I really care about keynotes, and I care about delivering the pitch correctly, and I spent a lot of time practicing. So I'm really happy with the result. But like I said, I mean, I wasn't expecting to win. Sats GG, as soon as he took the stage, I was like, "Damn, he's definitely got the crown." But I was surprised.
Surprised. So for the people that are listening at home, real quick, give them the elevator pitch. What was announced yesterday? What was the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're building the global Bitcoin earn ramp for Gen Z. So we're trying to gamify the onboarding experience for the new folks in the space who are younger and who might not read a Bitcoin book or listen to a long podcast. And really, something like Pokemon Go works pretty well for that. So we've actually placed Bitcoin beasts around Austin. And we did that last night, 6 Bitcoin beasts. So you can catch a Bitcoin beast by answering a quiz question about Bitcoin. And we will reward you with 1,000 sats for the person who catches all the series of the beasts. And there's 6 of them in total. You can get 1,000,000 sats. So it's quite a nice entry point for beginners. We actually had someone last night who went through and caught all the beasts. So
last night, after you did it?
Oh, my God. Immediately after we did it.
Oh, my God.
They went around on scooters to try and catch the beast. So
wow, so people were literally playing it after you had launched?
Straight away.
In the afternoon?
Yes.
Oh, my God, dude.
So we're going to be distributing the rewards to them really soon. But, yeah, the plan is basically to put more on the map every month. So there'll be different series of beasts beyond these and to roll it out across to other cities as well.
What was this like here?
Really cool. We wanted to do some marketing for South by Southwest, and so we bought a beast costume. We had some sandwich boards made.
Everybody knows who that is. That's Pleb Poet.
Yes,
who's Jenna. Who's in the suit?
That's EK.
EK's in the suit. That's amazing.
So they really helped us out. They did so well. And the overall sentiment was people were really excited about it. And we got...
Oh, my God.
We distributed 500 cards across 2 days.
Dude, that looks amazing, dude.
It was good fun.
Oh, my God.
It's good fun.
I'm so freaking happy for you, man.
Thank you.
Dude, you've been grinding for a while. Yeah. Can you just tell us real quick, like, what was that like? Like... I mean, I know you don't want to bring it up, but like getting laid off from Swan and then having to have like, can you just tell us like how that was transformative for you and then got you going this way, in this direction?
You know, when you have an idea and it's a hobby project, it can stretch on forever. You could still be tinkering and building for years. And
right.
So I think that could have been me if Swan didn't go through what they went through with having to lay off, you know, more than 50% of their staff. I think this could have taken a long, long time to build. But really, that was the kick I needed to get me to build this thing. And we built all of this in 3 months for Top Builder, the beast catching. And everything you see is a result of this competition and by doing it full time. So really, going full time, spending a proper amount of time on this, it made all the difference.
Yeah, phenomenal. Really I'm so proud of you. Keep it going, dude.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
Can you tell Keon to...
Yeah, absolutely.
come back. Dude, look at that. That looks so sick. Oh, man, so amazing. Keon, what did you think about Oliver's win yesterday?
I thought it was awesome. I talked to a few people who called it in advance, or they called it before the judges called it, which I thought was pretty awesome. So it sounded like it must have been a great presentation.
What do you think? What do you think about like just him doing everything possible, like going during South by doing this, like trying all this stuff? Like,
it's what you have to do.
Tell us why, though, Keon. Why do you have to do that?
Because you're. I mean, I think I got this from, of all people, Brian Armstrong. I think he was quoted on a Lex Fridman podcast saying, you just have to keep doing shit because doing shit gives you information, which you can learn from. So absent like any real like, clear path forward, you just do something and you get information from it, and then maybe you get a clear path forward. And so especially with marketing stuff, you don't know the way that what's going to cause a product to really take off and have the kind of virality or whatever you need. And so you just have to kind of do stuff.
Yeah, I think he like did that very well. He just did stuff and some of it worked. He got a lot of alpha. Even I got alpha when I was hanging out with him, and was able to learn why Gen Z was having trouble grasping Bitcoin. So that's amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. Cool pretty stuff. Cool.
The prize was big. Who paid for the prize?
Folger. Okay. Yeah, Folger. We just had somebody from Folger here a while ago and just thanking them.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for, like, I'm not even, this is, trust, I mean, we're good partners with Folger, but like, I'm just telling you, like, if it wasn't for Folger, there's a lot of companies that had probably wouldn't have not been started in the Bitcoin space, beloved ones too. So they're legends over there.
He was the first VC I talked to.
Really?
Yeah, Oleg.
Okay.
And he gave me lots of great advice. Lyle, I talked to, I don't know if I'm supposed to say aloud, but I talked to an angel before I talked to Oleg, who also gave me a lot of great advice. But they both just gave me, I was like, I'm thinking about raising VC, and they're both like, let's do a call. And Oleg was one of them and gave me a lot of great advice.
Wow. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, great guys over there.
The thing that we launched, PlebLab launched Startup School. So we've been doing Top Builder for 2 years, and I think I haven't talked to you about this, but I think we have something that's compelling. And Teresa, I think we have like a path forward. So it'll be hybrid. It'll be very, you know, we do things like hand to mouth. So we'll learn this, and then it'll get better over time. But I think this feels like the next natural step. If anybody's interested, go here, fill up a type form. It's different than Top Builder. It's not the same thing. And just answer some questions. And yeah, so I just want to share that with the stackers.
Right on.
And with all that, let's jump into, or actually before we do that, how was your week?
How was my week? It's been a great week. It's kind of busy. It's like having a bunch of people who your roommate invited over, like staying at your, it's like your roommate invited over their like family and their like, you know, second degree and third degree family, and they're all staying in your house. That's what it feels like, because there's like a bunch of events going on here.
Wait, so you say it feels like Thanksgiving. Can you have me a specific?
Yeah, but your roommate is having Thanksgiving. You're just kind of.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah.
You're just in the house while your roommate is having Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Oh, so it's like you're like in a. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Do you have a pot opener or no?
No, not on me.
How do you do it with your hand? Don't you normally do it for me? I see what you're saying. You're like, I see what you're saying. I think it's been, for me, I think it's been fun, dude. I'm having a blast. Like, I love.
Yeah, but you're like an extroverted person.
Yeah, I love
for
people.
For me, it's like.
I love people.
I love people too, but an introvert, it sucks your energy rather than, you know, gives you energy. So I have that going for me where.
I actually get energy from people.
That's what.
And then I get too much energy.
That's what extroversion is.
And then I'll get to a point where I'm just like talking.
Someone's definition of it.
I'll get talk to this person, talk to this person, talk to this person, and I just get like so like, I don't know what that is, like Roadrunner. Just want to talk to everybody.
Yeah, I think that's called manic.
It's like a natural high.
Yeah. It's a great thing.
I don't know. It's also a curse, because when you're not around people, you're kind of like,
Well, but you can always be around people.
That's true.
The people are everywhere.
That's true. This is true.
It's harder to get away than be around, I think.
Okay.
Anyway.
With that, we're going to jump.
How about you? How was your week?
It was good. It was good. We had, like I said, I've been grinding for like 6 months with Top Builder Season 2. Dude, huge shout out to Armand for, you know, helping us build that this year. So shout out timestamp. But after that, like this past, I guess since the end of February, I've just been grinding out Startup Day. Yeah. And, you know, the price going down hasn't helped. So we found a way to make it work. And you know, it took a village. A lot of people at Unchained and at the Commons have helped us tremendously to put on the show. So just grateful for them. And then we just, like, you know, we did our best to show a good presentation yesterday. And I think when I was talking to Teresa, she said we had about the same amount of numbers that we had last year, which was our biggest event last year. So I think overall, awesome. Were we up last year as far as the attendance for Startup Day? Were we up last year? From last South By?
Yeah, so from year one to year two, we were definitely up. And this year, we were about the same as last year, so still strong.
Okay, still strong. So, yeah, it sounds like it's...
Cool. But I'm not really here.
Yeah, but it sounds like it was still good to...
Yeah, it was.
It was a good, strong year for Blood Lab. And,
I mean, our audience.
Yeah. Yeah, so Teresa says it's good. I guess, yeah, I just think it's been phenomenal, dude. It's cool. Been fun.
Yeah, it was excellent. Lots of great founders around. That's always a good sign.
Dude, did you meet Adam from Bitcoin Well?
I might have.
Okay. It was cool meeting him. Who else? Luke Dash Jr. I saw Luke Dash Jr.
Did you see him? Really here?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
He was really? In Plub Lab.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Oh, was he here to talk about Ocean?
No, I just saw him here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Doxed. But I saw him here. I was just like, oh, crap, that's crazy.
I must not believe it.
Well, no, I didn't even know it was him until somebody pointed it out.
He was wearing a gas mask?
Well, no. Okay. He was just normal. I was just like, whoa, that's crazy.
I remember wearing a gas mask.
This guy's a legend, and he's inside of Plub Lab. That's nuts.
The only way I know. I haven't seen his face in person.
Everybody else was like cheesing. So I didn't get a chance to talk to him because he was
legend.
He was talking to somebody else, and I don't like doing that thing where when somebody's talking to somebody, you come in there and interject. So I don't do that. I wait till they're alone, and then I go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like you want the gazelle who's away from the herd.
No, you just want to talk to them when they're not talking to
somebody
else.
That's exactly what I just said.
Oh, okay. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was good, dude. It was awesome. Marty was judging the thing yesterday, and Danny was there, so that was cool. Hanging out with those guys yesterday.
Did you listen in on the judging? Were you part of the...
No. I just found out about it afterwards.
Be curious and, what everyone's votes were, you know?
Well, I found out how they... So I got feedback from me. It was like, Carl, you need to be better at this and this. I was like, oh, okay, we can fix that. So
judging criteria? That's usually a big complaint among judges.
Well, I mean, they're all VCs. Most of it's just like, you know...
Judge them based on VCs.
Judge them based on VCs.
Yeah, but they don't get... They're always confused by it.
I don't know. Marty's a pretty smart guy. So is Danny. Anyways, I could be better, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful for him, man. Just amazing. It was cool seeing Danny was here, and he was, like, hanging out at the lab and was catching up with him, and he was talking about his podcast, what Bitcoin did, and just, like, how massively...
I think they're on stage right now.
Oh, yeah, they're on stage right now, yeah.
Yeah, him and Marty are doing a joint podcast together.
Yeah, that's cool. But we have to go on at 4 every week. We just do.
It's true.
It's true. It's our normal time.
Yeah. But you might, you know, anyone watching live might want to go watch that one.
Yeah, definitely go watch that.
It's probably better.
Okay, cool. Let's jump into the top 5 stories of the week. We're going to go number 5. The number 5th top story is producing. Wait, what's going on? Cuba Day at scale. I bought a juicer for the pulp, not the juice.
That's from me.
Coop, what?
I wrote this over the weekend.
Wow, that's 1,664 sats.
This might be our top food and drinks.
What is this?
Are they our only top 5 food and drinks one?
What is this?
So my name Cuba Day comes from a Persian meat dish, which is...
Really?
Yes, we've
this
talked
whole
about,
time.
We've talked about this before.
No, I never heard this before.
Okay. But
did you know that, Teresa? He said that his name came from a dish. It's that dish right there.
It's a coob. Yeah. See, Teresa knows. Yeah. It's a Persian meat dish. They take ground meat and they mix it with onion pulp. And I wrote a post about how to get onion pulp more efficiently. And so that's what the top five story is. And I use the post is about me using a juicer. Like I use the juicer for the opposite of what it's intended for, and most, you know, discarded the juice and kept the pulp. And
is this it right here?
I can make Cubidae more efficiently. Yeah, Cubidae more efficiently.
There's onion dip, onion bread.
Yeah, I was thinking about the ways I could onion use it because we didn't have meat. I pulped these onions. Onion I was excited. Casserole tub. I didn't check for meat.
So this is me. Like, so I'm like Forrest Gump right now, asking Bubba Gump, like, "Hey, what is this?" That's funny.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. And then this is it.
That's onion juice. That's onion, not pulp.
What do you think about that? Onion juice.
What do I think about it?
Yeah. But what do you think about it? Would you chug that?
It's not very good. And we tried making like lemonade out of it. I put like sugar in it to see if it would taste.
You know who would love that, Keon?
Who?
Francisco. So Francisco's obsessed with onions.
No way, really?
Yes, yes. He puts onions in everything.
Oh.
Yeah, you should tell him.
Probably a lot.
Really?
Oh. Nice. Copper and selenium. Yeah, the top comment is from Aardvark, who says that you can drink onion juice as a remedy to sleep disorders. Mm. And there's actually evidence supporting sleep disorder a sleep disorder remedy. So that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, Johnny! I forgot to shout out. Major shout out, Johnny Ochoa. He literally fed everybody for the past week.
Wow!
What is that again? Tallow.
Wow! Very cool.
So, you gonna keep doing this?
Yeah. That's the point. I'm gonna do more of that because we'll do like meatballs or like meatloaf traditionally or meatloaf or meatballs. You'll add like breadcrumbs or some kind of grain, and I prefer not. So we're just gonna add onion pulp instead because it basically fulfills the same function where it's like holding in fat and moisture.
Yeah.
Once it's a pulp like this.
Justin Shocknet said I got an omega juicer. The juice fasting trend of like 15 years ago and love steak and onions. Thanks for the rabbit hole. What's an omega juicer? Is that like a better type of machine?
I think it's probably one of the like early juicer companies back when everything wasn't made in China and things had a brand name. Like I think my juicer had no brand name. It was juicer. It was just on Amazon. It's called juicer.
Oh, cool. Nice. All right. Well, let's jump into the number four top story of the week. This is underrated privacy tools on Lightning. This is from Darth Coy. Wow, he hasn't been in the top five in a while. 18 comments, 4,250 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Darth Coy did a write-up on a variety of ways you might get more privacy and kind of listed them out. Specifically, he talks mostly about you running your own kind of LSP for yourself. So you create a public node, and then you use it to route payments to a private node that you have. Mm. And he describes like several kinds of privacy gains you can or privacy techniques you can use to accept private payments. And sort of overlaps with a lot of what these LSPs do for you. Some of these I hadn't heard of before, but some of them I have. It talks quite a bit about zero-conf channels, which is you basically never hit chain, hit the chain in some cases. I think Zeus might even offer zero-conf channels, or that might be specifically a Blix feature. Talks about the various ways that Blix and Zeus as mobile Lightning nodes support Lightning payments.
Is that true? And sorry, he's a fan of Stacker News Live.
Oh, cool. What's yeah, that?
He watches us.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Well, if you want to come on camera, you can come on camera.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He does get to come on camera. Yo, what's up, Jerry?
I'm a fan. These guys are awesome.
Thanks, Jerome. Dude, he came in yesterday at startup day. He came to me. He's like, I'm here. And I was like, oh, crap. I'm like, dude, thank you so much for coming. And I think you skipped work for it too, right? Or something like that.
Oh,
I was like, dude, but every time I see him, he's always just like saying all the good stuff that we're doing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That.
Thank you so much, Jerome. Absolutely. Love you, brother.
Thanks, Jerome.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, did you grab a shirt? Did you grab the shirts?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I'm okay, cool. For the shirts. Okay. Thank you, sir. But yeah, it was funny. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry, Keon.
I think I said most of what I was going to say. It's a good summary of kind of the things if you want to have a more private Lightning node set up for yourself. I think it's a good description of the technologies and techniques you can use. It's like a pretty broad survey. It's not really harping on any one particular method.
Yeah.
And it describes loosely how things like wrapped invoices work. And yeah, I would recommend it for anyone interested in improving their Lightning privacy.
Yeah. And then we also have the number three top story book review, the Bitcoin Mining Handbook. This is from Siggy47. 8 comments, 3,601 sets. What's this? I feel like I've read that. No, this is the second one of theirs or the first one?
I think they occasionally produce these PDFs versions of their blog. And so this is another one. I guess it's a collection of their mining-focused articles.
Okay.
More of an introduction. Like Mining 101 articles. Oh, here. Yeah, so here's some other books that they have. The Mining Heat Reuse one. I think that was another recent one, too.
That's cool.
Yes, Marty did the foreword for it. And Siggy's been getting into pleb mining. Last week we talked about the Canon, I think 3S that he purchased and started using. And he said it's a pretty good intro. He said it's a very basic intro, and he only recommends it for very beginnery people.
Oh, I remember that.
But yeah, he liked this snippet that was in there, which has circulated quite a few times.
Have you ever really looked up Ford, like as far as like everything, like some of the sayings that he has said? I was telling Teresa about one earlier today.
Yeah,
he has this great quote. I don't want to screw it up. I'll probably screw it up, but it basically talks about I forget it. Anyway, so much. I feel like he had such a wealth of knowledge that just most people don't know. Did you know he tried to make a flying car?
I believe it. I mean, you know, he's a very successful businessman and probably got very ambitious and, you know, seemed very dedicated to doing a variety of things. I mean, I think he was purchasing land in South America for rubber, and he was Fordlandia is this thing in Brazil where he was planning to do build a city, like a like a sort of a factory city, and there are books written about it. You can go visit it. I think it got somewhat created, but yeah, a really interesting figure. Yeah, and part of the story, Ford's story, that might be interesting for people is like hearing his early story and how righteously he was failing for a long time before succeeding.
Do you know how he sold his first car?
I do not.
So he was able to surprise people because there was this vehicle that went fast, and he couldn't match the amount of speed that went. But he said that he was going to be able to beat it in like so many days or whatever. And he literally jumped in the car himself, and it was like so dangerous to do. And he like beat it in actual speed, and that put Ford on the map as far as like a vehicle. And it was just that one like. Saying you can't do something, he did it, and then he was the first. I forget how the story goes, but it's been a while since I've looked it up. But
another interesting anecdote about cars is, I guess some of the earliest cars before Ford, I think they actually put fake horse heads on the front of them. to make people feel more comfortable.
Oh, no.
Yeah, driving them around because they're so used to a horse and buggy that they put horse heads on the front just to feel normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, that died out because as things do that are just kind of emotional copes.
Cool. I feel like we're running through these fast, but let's do it. The number two top story of the week is the Pleb Economist. Number five, S-coins are part of Bitcoin's Gartner hype cycle. This is from Simple Snacker, four comments, 22,000 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I think Simple Snacker is using the Gartner hype cycle to explain like why shitcoins came about. Mm-hmm. Like, and that might have been, if you believed in the Gartner hype cycle, which was reason to, you know, not really believe it. But if you believe in it, you might, it might lead you to conclude that something like shitcoins would emerge. And so he describes the Gartner hype cycle to us and then places the emergence of alternative L1s in the Gartner hype cycle. I drew an image of what he basically describes if you go to the comments, and that might help the people who are a little allergic to words at the bottom there. See that? If you click that, that's just basically what his article describes, which we can hardly see, but basically describes Bitcoin's invented and then alternative L1s emerge as people don't really understand the technology very well and the purpose and begin thinking it might be extended for other things. And that's like the peak of enthusiasm, and then it declines as we get realize those things are.
So is he saying Bitcoin L2s? Oh, there's Omron right there. Yeah. Is he saying Bitcoin L2s are not mature right now? Is that what he's saying?
No. So he doesn't even mention Bitcoin L2s, but I would say they're not mature right now. This is my graphic. So this is my. So he basically describes the peak there and the trough, and he thinks the trough right now is retails like on meme coins, and they're like in this disillusionment trough, and they're like most of retail isn't investing in alternative L1s because they believe that they are going to surpass Bitcoin. They're invested in them primarily in these kind of toy use cases like meme coins. And then I elaborated and I'm like, well, it's, and then he said, Bitcoiners are like on the rise out of the trough, it seems. And, like we're already there. Maybe we never entered the trough at all.
I think it's kind of what I was talking to Marx about at the top of the show where he's literally, oh, Nifty Nay. Oh my God. It's a Nifty Nay spotted. I think it's like one of those things where like I think just Bitcoin, like kind of what Marx was saying, like it already hit the mainstream, and so I think for the most part we just kind of have to just put the payments in at this point, if that makes any sense. Obviously the scaling is going to take time, but it's more just a toggle now. I don't know if you saw, but like on the website it actually has like a toggle switch where you can just pay with Bitcoin, and I think that's kind of where we're getting to, Keon, where it's just like it's a technology company. Add Bitcoin payments to it. And Bitcoin, what would you call that? The skeleton? Or what would you call that? The infrastructure. The infrastructure if you need it. If you need that part of your stack or whatever. But that's kind of where we're at now. Is that a safe?
I don't think so.
No?
Nope.
Okay, then what do you say?
I mean, I don't think it's that. I don't think Bitcoin payments are mainstream. I think Bitcoin investing is mainstream. I think Bitcoin payments are still extremely niche. I think Bitcoin payments are as niche as maybe Bitcoin was in 2013. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we're at the stage where we just toggle it into applications.
Yeah, yet. I don't know. I feel like we're getting close.
I mean, it's hard to not believe that when we're surrounded by Bitcoiners, so I would agree. You want another beer?
Yeah. I'm just three in. This is my.
Well, we have the count here in the bottom right hand corner.
This is my like car. Just enjoy your day. Oh, this is like the Bedford episode where it starts off good and then it just goes bad. This could be like the Bedford episode. Yeah, this could be like the Bedford episode. Stay tuned, Stackers. Darth loves this right now, I'm sure.
Well, he might. I think he might. He's probably.
Dude, there's an IPA for you. We got you some different ones. Ooh. Look right there.
Oh, there's for, like. Oh, I'm not. I don't drink anymore.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've stopped drinking.
No, no for, he's for, missed, for he good. Stopped for like good. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, how's that going?
Good. There is no backstory really. It just I didn't. I just felt like I wasn't getting anything from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's nice in a social situation because it's kind of like a binky for an adult. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't. I'd prefer just to go cry.
I think for me, like, I can go months and, like, you know, not drink, and then whenever it's like celebration time, I'm like totally there. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I definitely know what you mean. Yeah. I would drink once a month. Yeah. But when I drink, I couldn't stop drinking really, and I just keep drinking and drinking, and I didn't like that.
Oh, here we go. Party starting. Cool. Where are we at? Oh, we got the number one top story. So let's jump into that. The number one top story. What do you think it is? But before we do that, we're going to go to Stacker News Live. If you haven't subscribed to this, you probably should. Some people like it. I was so busy, dude. I forgot to post up the SNL episode until like Tuesday. Oh, it was just, wow. Yeah, sorry, Stackers from last week. This one should go up tonight. So, Wumble's been killing it. But if you haven't subscribed, hit subscribe. We'll jump into the comments. I don't know, do we have comments? Oh, yeah, so we'll jump into the comments later. Go over to YouTube, hit subscribe there. Oh, actually, let me go to Stacker. Stacker News Live here. I'm sorry. There you go. Do you remember when I took that picture of you?
The one at Capital Factory?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the one that we used there. But yeah, check it out. Hit subscribe. Apparently, we have 335 subscribers, but there's like 57% of people that watch the show but don't hit subscribe. So they need to fix that. That's all I'm saying.
They need to? You mean YouTube?
People that are watching should fix that. Hit that subscribe button.
They should change their behavior.
Hit that subscribe button. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
With all that, let's jump into the number one top story of the... Wait. This is number one? Yeah. This the number one top story of the week is, should Mars have its own Bitcoin chain? This is from Scoresby, March 13th, 34 comments, 25,000 sats. Keon, what is Scoresby talking about this week?
Yeah, so this is a thought experiment. Trying to get to the real question underneath the thought experiment is Bitcoin because of its consensus rules? Or is Bitcoin because of its history? And so given we have a colony on Mars and they're trying to use Bitcoin and it doesn't really work for them, would they be shitcoiners if they forked Bitcoin and had their own Bitcoin with the same consensus rules? Or would we consider that okay because really Bitcoin is about the consensus rules? Or is there something about Bitcoin's history that is so special that it can never be recreated, and anything that forks it, even if the consensus rules are the same, it's a shitcoin. And so that's kind of the...
So what do you think?
I believe this is another Voskal-inspired post, because Voskal, I think, holds the opinion that the consensus rules, you know, proof of work, the consensus rules are kind of what make, and no pre-mine are kind of what make Bitcoin, Bitcoin. But I do think it's going to be hard to recreate the same conditions again, because any fork of Bitcoin is going to be presumed to have value, and therefore early people who are aware of Bitcoin's history are going to try to accumulate as much, basically pre-mine, even without a technical pre-mine, we're going to pre-mine effectively.
Yeah. And so I really do think it's very possible that we will just start using like another type of asset that's like, how do you say, that's like, that's not digital at that point. Like when we do move to Mars, it'll be a different asset, and it'll probably be an asset that's like a certain type of like rock or however, like, I don't know, like like an element that's not like, how do you say, like,
you don't think we need digital money on Mars?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if we ever do get to like multi-planet, like what do you call that, like I'm like three like multi-planet species or whatever, I think we would I think we would get trying to put my thoughts together. Help me here, Kia.
No,
I think we haven't
put enough thoughts together for me to help you.
I think we would get to a point where it would just be a rock, and that rock would be whatever that element is, would be very scarce, and then we would be on the hunt in the solar system for that element, and then that would be the hard currency. I think that's what I think would evolve to.
Okay, so we're not going to be Bitcoiners when we're multiplanetary.
Yeah, I don't think we are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a bad take or something?
That's pretty controversial. You're basically saying if Elon succeeds...
Oh, wait, Tober. Tober's the perfect person to ask for this. Tober, sit down. All right. Okay, wait, because I think this is such a great topic. I'm sorry, Keon. I'm all over the place.
You are.
You're just like, you're like putting up with drunk dad right now. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
thank you. But,
Keon's got that, like, angry dad.
No, it's me because I'm annoying when I'm drunk. But, Keon, can you explain this to Topher real quick?
Oh,
basically. Mars have its own Bitcoin chain.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to be hard to for Mars to interoperate with the normal Bitcoin network. And it's just a thought experiment, and it's asking if Mars creates its own chain with the same consensus rules, maybe they don't call it Bitcoin anymore, but they call it something else. Is that a shitcoin, or is it still, you know, basically a Bitcoin because Bitcoin is the consensus rules, or is Bitcoin its history, and there's something special about Bitcoin's history that makes it Bitcoin, and anything that doesn't have that history is a shitcoin. And so that's kind of the thought experiment. This is like a Voskal. This is like a premise on. I know Scoresby is like going through some of Voskal's ideas right now.
I haven't read this post, but I know this argument.
So, what's your? I'm gonna share my position, but afterwards you go first though.
Well, I mean, yes, like Mars would have to have its own blockchain, and it would not be Bitcoin. It would be Mars coin. I don't think it would be a shit coin because. Okay. Unless we have faster than light communication, which we might, maybe we figure that out. But until then, like, you literally can't, like, you technically can't have people on Mars that use the Bitcoin blockchain on Earth. There's just too much of a lag. Like, you just won't be able to stay up to date with the network. There's so many attacks that can happen just because of the delay. Lightning wouldn't work. So many things wouldn't work. Even hashing, like you couldn't mine Bitcoin on Mars because you would always lose.
Yeah.
You would never be able to find a block, so you would have to have your own chain.
Okay, but you think what makes Bitcoin Bitcoin is its consensus rules?
It's not just its consent; it's its hash power.
Okay.
Consensus rules can change, but it's hash power.
So if
it's
Mars
its network and its hash power.
If Mars coin has more hash power, does that make it effectively Bitcoin?
Well, no, because that hash power will never be able to compete on Earth.
Okay, but you wouldn't think of Mars people as shit coiners. They would have their own Bitcoin and be Bitcoiners, just Martian Bitcoiners.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is my technical take is that Bitcoin is Bitcoin because proof of work really can't be done more than once. Because it's too easy for miners to just like you're going to have a clear winner that's going to have the vast majority of hash power. If anybody tries to create an alternative currency based on proof of work, miners can just go to that alternate chain with this insurmountable amount of hash power and just absolutely attack the chain and destroy it, which is what has happened with Bitcoin forks. When miners get bored and they have extra hash power,
well, what if they
go attack others?
What if they get some ASIC? What if Mars is using some ASIC resistant hashing algorithm?
Yeah, so you would have to have like a completely different consensus algorithm than proof of work through hashing.
Damn, I just realized I had you on mute the whole time.
Oh.
I just unmuted you.
Okay. Well, now that the world can hear me.
Can you say that all over again to summarize?
Okay. To summarize that whole long conversation that just didn't get captured. It would not be Bitcoin. Yes, it would be another currency. It would be identical to Bitcoin, I guess, if you want to go that route. And it's... Unless we invent faster than light communication, it's the only way you can legitimately have another proof of work chain that
is able to live alongside Bitcoin simply because of the distance between the two planets and the amount of time that it takes information to travel. The hash power on Mars would not be able to compete in the Earth hash rate market and vice versa. So they would be separated by distance, and so they could live independently.
So why don't we start another proof of work chain with the same consensus rules on Earth to scale Bitcoin?
Because then you have like what happened with Bitcoin Cash and Satoshi's vision, where
but they don't again, have the same like, consensus rules though.
They don't have the same consensus rules, but they have the same proof of work essentially. Mm-hmm. And even if you sort of change the software a little bit, like if the underlying architecture of the chip that you're using to do the hashing is fundamentally the same,
okay,
they can just change their software, compete on the other chain with far more hash power, and then just attack the chain.
But what if that wasn't true? What if we intentionally went about for scaling Bitcoin, we created a ASIC resistant hashing algorithm, and that's how we scale Bitcoin. Would that be shitcoinery? And somehow on Mars it's not.
So I honestly wouldn't. If there's an alternative currency that's identical to Bitcoin, but it uses a different proof of work algorithm,
yeah,
that doesn't compete with Bitcoin's proof of work, I would consider that, and that is the opportunity to actually have a legitimate alternate currency. Now the consensus rules would probably make or break whether that was a shitcoin. But okay. I mean, you do have alternate forms of doing proof of work. Monero has a proof of computation, like general compute, which I think is like novel and very different from proof of work and hashing. Mm-hmm. So I think it does live on its own island. There's also like proof of storage, which I don't know too much about. I didn't really like what Filecoin tried to do with that. It seemed kind of convoluted and gross. But I guess that's another avenue that you could take. There's something you can do with like memory, like computer memory, like fast access. So you have to, I think proof of work is what is the solution that makes Bitcoin valuable. But proof of work with hashing's been taken. Like Bitcoin won that battle. It owns that domain. You can't, like if you have anything that even comes close to proof of work hashing, like you won't be able to compete with Bitcoin. You are a shitcoin essentially. Don't even try. But like these other forms of proof of work that are in separate domains from proof of work with hash power, I mean, you could like coexist with Bitcoin. I don't know what you would bring to the table that's fundamentally different than Bitcoin.
So just for the Stacker's Homes, Dhruv has written about this at Unchained heavily. Have you guys read any? Have you all read this before?
I think I'm familiar with the arguments, but this Scoresby is not asking about this. He's asking specifically. It's a thought experiment that the same. It shares a premise, but the thought experiment is whether what makes Bitcoin Bitcoin is Bitcoin's consensus rules or it's Bitcoin's history, and so that's really the whole.
It's kind of cool though that the. Like how in depth he went in on this. Like I love the.
Yeah, he's a physicist, so.
I saw him speak. Like I think it was at the 21 or 20 conference about this, and I forget which conference it was, but I thought it was fascinating that he had all this information. What do you think about this, Topher?
You know, yeah, I would agree that what makes Bitcoin Bitcoin is its consensus and its history.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then I would say it's like what. Gives Bitcoin value as its proof of work.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more. I don't think we are going to. This is my take, and I said this earlier to Keon. If we become multi-planetary, I don't think Bitcoin's going to have anything to do with that. I think it's going to come down to like a certain type of element that will attribute. We'll go back to a metal standard or whatever that element is. I think Bitcoin will still exist on Earth. I just think it will stay on Earth. But I do think, now seeing this, I do think the Elysium, have you seen that movie? Like, where it's above? Yeah. I think that's probably the first step to make Bitcoin multiplanetary. But I would imagine you would just trade, like in any sci-fi movie, you would just like, I don't know if you've ever seen Total Recall, but that guy made a really great art house film called RoboCop, then he made Total Recall, then he made Starship Troopers. But in that movie, he has credits. They're just credits. Yeah. And so that's how they swap between the two planets of Earth and Mars. So I think it would be more.
So you're like an e-casher if we're multi-planetary.
You would just have like a credit system. Okay. At least that's how it's explained in sci-fi. But I think if we got to that point, I think the only way what Drew is talking about, I think it would work in an Elysium type of scenario where it's above the Earth or close to the Earth. And then Bitcoin would probably still work. You could still spend in that. This movie, it's so amazing because this is the guy that made District 9. But it's such an amazing movie because in this movie, it talks about how like the upper echelons of society live in this bubble above the Earth. And it's kind of cool because it has all the best technology. They have flying cars. It's like everything. And the people on Earth are the ones that are like the bottom feeders. And that makes sense in a Bitcoin standard because Bitcoiners will be living in the Elysium thing. And so it...
But the gates are open.
The gates are open.
It's not like we're literally living on an island in the sky where nobody else can get to. Like
but it's a perfect idea of what a citadel could be with Bitcoin. But I think ultimately if we became multiplanetary, it would just kind of fall in line with all the other sci-fi stuff where it would just be credits. And it would be like, or tied to a metal of a sort, whatever that scarce metal is.
Unobtainium?
Yeah, I don't know. That's my take on it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize you were an interplanetary shitcoiner car, but that's okay.
But I'm just saying, like, that's the only way to do it.
I know you're a gold bug, so long as we're on multi-planets, I believe.
Later, Oliver.
So you're thinking...
Later, Oliver. Yeah, go sleep, brother. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how you would do it otherwise.
I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. I just think it's kind of, so I wonder what happens when Elon gets us to Mars. Are you going to sell all your Bitcoin?
Knowing him, he'll probably just like do like Dogecoin only or something.
But Dogecoin, I believe, has a similar proof of work algorithm.
He'll probably fork it because he's a shitcoiner, though.
He'll have like Mars Doge.
No, but like Elon would fork
Martian
it.
Martian Doge.
Elon would fork it because he's a shitcoiner.
Okay, but you're a shitcoiner too.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about living in Elysium. I'm talking about living
those guys in, are definitely shitcoiners.
No, they're above the Earth. They just live better than everybody.
You know who paid for that thing? It was Vitalik.
No, it was probably Bitcoiners.
That Vitalik put it in the sky.
Watch Elysium. Have you? Because you've never seen Elysium.
Of course, I've seen Elysium.
Oh, you have seen it.
You know what's interesting is like
it's like
going
Christopher
to Mars,
Nolan, right? Or is who did it? It's the guy who usually does sci-fi movies.
No, he did District 9, then he did Elysium, and then he's made Chappie.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Yeah, Chappie wasn't good.
Dude, I like that movie. It's a good movie.
No, Elysium's great. I love Elysium, but I think that's where Bitcoin is. That would be the citadel in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
But you would just use Bitcoin there, though. You wouldn't use.
On Elysium?
Yeah, you would just use Bitcoin.
That's probably okay.
Yeah, I'm for that. I just don't think you can't make it work in Mars, though.
I know, but then you're like, let's do gold.
No, I'm saying, like, if we were multiplanetary, Keon, you would just move to a different asset that made sense for multiplanetary species.
I think it's a fair point, so are you going to sell all your Bitcoin when we get to Mars?
No, I'm going to live on Earth. I'm not going to go multiplanetary.
Saying to transact between planets, we have another currency that's suitable for, like, slower than light.
I think it's just like Star Wars. They all use credits, dude. They'll use credits from the evil empire.
Transmission. Okay.
Right?
All right, so we'd settle up in some kind of...
Well, did you ever see Mandalorian? Like, in Mandalorian, he uses the metal to get credits to go to these other planets, but they all use the same credits of the
Yeah, it's fiat.
Just writers that don't want to deal with, like, the logistics of how that would
actually
work.
I think that's human behavior.
Have a fiat currency.
Humans just want to have a magic number that's their bank balance that works anywhere and everywhere.
I think that's
and not
behavior.
Think about how it works. Yeah.
I don't know. This is an interesting take. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just think like whoever is first to go to Mars could be the new Satoshi Nakamoto. Because if you were the first, like if you showed up to Mars and you're like the only one with ASICs.
I think this is a fascinating conversation, though.
You would be the first one to mine like a million Bitcoin.
There were some great.
Austin, what do you got on this?
There were some great comments in the comment thread. People talking about maybe.
Oh, Justin Shockton. You want to read this?
No.
Okay, I can't read this. I'm like foreign. You guys say something? Yeah, go ahead.
I have no idea what y'all are talking about, but I always thought that like you would need to start Bitcoin on Mars. from the Genesis block. It's not that you could like have Mars and Earth Bitcoin interoperate, but you would just realize that Bitcoin is the right way to create money. And so it's like the first person there to establish it.
So what makes Bitcoin Bitcoin is the consensus rules and not its history.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting.
And so why don't we do that on Earth to scale Bitcoin and create another chain?
Here you go. Yes. Oh no! Wait! Hold on!
We've been tricked. Walked right into that one.
I just walked into a trap.
It's a trap. All right. Any other thoughts,
Topher?
You got a final thought? I said my piece. I'm good.
I think he said that any hashing algorithm, any ASIC can be converted to do another hashing algorithm. It's basically his argument. Like, all of that hash power could be turned into a hash power in another chain and then subvert its, like, security. I don't know much about ASICs and hashing and how they're designed, but I suspect you could probably have a real ASIC buster of a hashing algorithm, at least for the current architecture. Obviously, they have all the energy infrastructure in place and the supply chains, but I would guess, I mean, it's, say, a Blake 3 proof-of-work algorithm. You would have to buy completely new hardware and chips, right?
Maybe. It's like what it comes down to is like, what are the actual operations that are being done on the chip?
Yeah.
And so as long as they're different enough that you can't take an existing ASIC and just convert it over to the new chain, then you're okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know enough about them, but I figured, so is that a shitcoin? As Bitcoin's consensus rules, if that's what makes Bitcoin, then. But on Mars, are you a shitcoiner if you do the same thing? What is the. What?
The thing is, if I show up to Mars, if you can show me the hash.
Right? Like, if I show up to Mars, it's like, what options do I have? It's like, I can use the digital, whatever, Mars dollar. Or it's like, if you have a proof of work chain on Mars and I can verify it and I can make sense of it in the way that I make sense of Bitcoin. And I can validate that there's real work and real energy and that it's scarce. It's like, I'm down. And is it a shitcoin? It's like, well, I guess so. Because it's not as good as Earth Bitcoin because it doesn't have the history, but it's the best we have on Mars, right?
I mean, we're all going to Mars for like the three titty prostitutes anyway, right?
All right. Oh, wow. That's a real burn.
I felt that one. Girlfriends on the internet
here for him? So I think, final thoughts, just real quick. This is a great, I think this is one of my favorite Scoresby posts. Such a great post.
It has nothing to do with the four beers you've drank.
No, I'm just saying it's such a great conversation to bring up with Bitcoiners and how like everybody has a different idea of how to do it. So that's what I mean by it's such a great post. Mm-hmm. It should be an all-time post for sure.
Yeah, it gets to a really interesting question.
Final thoughts?
I don't have final thoughts.
Final thoughts, Topher?
I think everyone's a shitcoiner.
Do we get Bitcoin in Uranus? Final thought is Mars.
You can do that today with an open.
My final thought is like, what an alien. Aliens can just come along with their advanced technology and just fucking shit out ASICs and like hook it up to a Dyson sphere and just totally wreck our economy. Or like Plebeian Earthling economy.
Oh, wow.
I hope they don't do that.
That's such a bummer.
Yeah.
All right. With all that, let's jump into Keon's top stories of this week. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, this is a Bitcoin wallet. I guess the coder who coded calls it a toy. But I think it's a really interesting Bitcoin wallet where it has like several security levels in it. So it starts out at a custodial level. And then it allows you to then open your own Lightning channels once it hits a threshold. And then once that Lightning channel gets big enough, then you can go. Then it has an on-chain hot wallet in it. And then when that gets enough Bitcoin in it, it then prompts you to go into cold storage. And so it's like several Bitcoin wallets in one. And I just thought it was a really cool creative idea because normally a wallet comes out and it has one security level in it. And it kind of assumes that you're going to use other wallets for the other security levels. And instead, he's like, why don't we just do it all in one wallet? And it's just, I think it is, it's a very early product. And but I just thought it was a really cool design and idea. Yeah, he's using a bit of a strikeout, I think.
What do you think, Topher?
It's a cool concept. I mean, that's kind of like what eCash was trying to do, have those different levels of custody.
Yeah, you could probably use eCash with this too.
Can we use this in the States, or do they block it already?
It's using custodian. I think it's partnering with custodian, so it's not, he's not the custodian, but he's like, I think he's partnered with, not really partnered. I think he's using the API of CoinOS when I asked him in the comments. So you have CoinOS, which is a custodian in Canada that doesn't KYC. And he's using them as their default custodian, but you could, you know, I assume he could hook up to Blink if, you know, maybe you could use Blink without KYC.
In America, IP address.
Yeah, not in America, but in many places in the world you can. I just thought, I mean, it's, I thought it's really cool where it's just like, oh, you might not know this, but this is a lot of, this is a lot of money to store in this way, and here's a better way for you to store it. And yeah.
Cool. There you go. That's that story. Let's jump into your next story. Was this one? What's this?
Yeah. So Dana J, I don't know how you pronounce his name. Hannon J created an alternative to Aperture. I think it's like a few. I talked to Fusats in the comments, and they said it's less feature complete than Aperture.
Yeah.
But he built L402 and like Aperture like features into Nginx, which is a reverse proxy that most people are using to sit in front of their servers.
What'd you say?
Oh yeah, me and Nick were gonna build this like a couple years ago.
What happened?
The vibe coding didn't exist. So we'd actually have to learn how to build an Nginx plugin.
So for stackers at home who don't know what vibe coding is, can you explain that to the stackers?
Motivation.
What is vibe coding?
It's low when effort you just like
open up your cursor window and you just start telling your little computer partner what to do, your little AI coding partner, your companion, your AI intern that you don't pay anything but is just so eager to please you, so you can give them any task and they'll sort of attack that task with.
So that's vibe coding?
It's programming through AI prompts exclusively. That's basically what vibe coding is.
Okay, cool.
Where you're not you're programming in human language.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was something completely
I'm
different.
Sure.
I thought where you guys get into one. That kind of like it's like a creative.
There was
like,
a comment that said his readme was lacking, so he probably doesn't
like
have
a
diagram.
It's like a vibe where you're just like you're feeling it and then you're just like.
But it has
just
NWC support in it.
It is a vibe.
But I thought it was pretty awesome. It uses Rust. I guess that's maybe how they implement the module.
Tell them the whole idea.
Oh. So the idea was is that we have this HTTP status code called 402, payment required, that's just sort of been sitting in the spec for a long time, not being used for anything. And so L402 is basically taking that status code and actually making it do something. And so if you have a paywall and you have some content behind the paywall, then you can use L402 so that, you know, if somebody's web browser goes to your content, hits the paywall, they can get this L402 response back with a Lightning invoice, and then they can pay that in order to go through. And essentially it'll be handled by your browser internally. And then maybe if you have like some nice wallet integration like Albi, it could just be completely seamless. Like maybe a prompt shows up telling you you're about to make this payment, but otherwise it's just integrated into the user experience on the internet. And then Nginx is this very popular low-level web server that runs on anything. And so a lot of implementations of L402 would be on higher layers. But to integrate into Nginx is very useful because Nginx is like a very lightweight, very performant, very popular web server. It's very low level. And that's kind of where you would want to handle this kind of thing, is here. And so Nginx having this is, it's perfect. It means that anybody running an Nginx server, which is like literally everybody that's running any kind of commercial web application is using Nginx. Now they can just install this module, and now they have L402 support. Yeah, and like as Nick was saying, it's like it's almost seamless because they don't have these people don't have to change anything else about their networks or their tech stack. They could just insert this module.
If they're already running a Lightning node, I guess. But I think he's allowing you to do it through NWC as well, which is pretty cool. I think Aperture doesn't have that ability. So you can actually you can use this plugin and not even have to run a Lightning node because you are accepting payments to, say, like AlbiHub.
Okay, so he's using he has different client types, and yeah. I see LNURL. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's a little more, I think, it's a different user, I think, end user than Aperture. Aperture is someone who's, like, running their own node. I think Lightning Labs runs Aperture for some of their services. But yeah, L402 is basically a means of authenticating that you've paid for something. That's like the most succinct way to say it. You don't have an account where the account is stored on a database and it says that you've paid for something.
It's just an invoice and then a receipt. That's it. The receipt gets you through.
Yeah.
Looks like he's a Summer of Bitcoin alum. That's cool.
Yeah, I think so.
That's amazing.
But I think just an awesome project. I think he did Summer of Bitcoin, it says in there. Lots of awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. That's all your...
If only we had Vibe.
That's all your top stories. Let's jump into the top stacker or top stackers of the week. Keon, who are the stackers this week?
All right. I triple spender this week. Someone's going to outspend me and beat me sometime. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Gray Ruby Undisciplined, Simple Stacker, Blockchain Boog.
Blockchain Boog?
0x Bitcoiner, Aardvark, EK 117.
Yeah.
It's the top 10.
Let's jump into the most popular segment in Bitcoin. So popular.
Everyone's going to switch from the Danny.
Everybody's switching right now from the other shows TMTC. That are going on to the Cowboy segment. Yeehaw! Cowboys.
Okay. Well,
this is my caricature.
Looks like we haven't moved at all in terms of Cowboys. Looks like the existing gang is still together, and I'm probably almost at 2 years of a cowboy hat. I guess Undisciplined.
I feel like me being on this side is throwing me off. Yeah,
of course. Even on vacation. Yeah, 100% loser.
You got a script running somewhere?
I don't have a grant, so I actually have to work. I don't have to...
wait, I missed. What's going on?
All right,
keep going.
There isn't much to go. This is the whole. This segment is so exciting. It's literally a moment of just like looking at the screen.
But apparently, like, you know, it is exciting. Apparently, to some people. I think
they like
EK's
how short,
at 35.
Sweet
look at that.
Simple it is.
Look at that. EK's okay. Look, Webster's at 42. Woo. Webster's at 42. Carr's at 55.
Who's at 69?
Woo.
Oh, Pleb Labs at 69.
Oh, dude.
Nice.
That is hilarious.
Wow, did you know that before?
I did not.
That's hilarious. That was weird. That was weird, bro. Oh, Tristan. Oh, dude, I forgot I mentioned Tristan launched something this week. Where was it at?
He launched his
let me drop it.
Browser plugin.
Drop it like his hat. Oh, right here. This one here. Did you see this? No. Yeah, is it this one?
No, I liked his browser plug.
I thought that was it, though.
I'm not. He's creating a custodial Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah, but I'm trying to like lower this thing. Cool.
But I liked his browser extension.
Oh yeah, but let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
Building Numis. How do you pronounce that? I'm sorry, Tristan. I'm drunk.
Numis. Numis,
like,
maybe.
Tristan's like, I know, Carr.
It's like Greek or something.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I haven't.
Topher,
read
what do you think, Topher? Is it okay if we talk about it? Guys,
I don't know if he's pivoted from what he wanted to make originally.
I think this is how he's starting.
I love him putting everything like out there like this. This is
good,
Tristan,
thing to
this
do.
Is like beautiful, dude. Keep doing it.
Yep.
What do you think, though?
Just got to keep at it.
He's so good at design, dude. Look at this. He's so good at design. I love how simple that is. It's like he's channeling Carr right here. What do you guys think? No?
It looks good.
Yeah.
Win dark mode.
Oh, there it goes right there. He has it running. Look, he has it running.
Is it working?
Is it running?
Is he using Breeze? What is he using?
I think he's doing a custodial wallet, I think, is what he said at
one
point.
There you go.
But this doesn't look custodial at all, so maybe it's not.
It's probably just Breeze, right?
Might be using BDK. I think it said up there what his stack was.
Keep doing it, Tristan. I love this. Really clean. Activity. Roadmap is, so he has roadmap. It's on his GitHub. And he's still right now testing ENV for resend. What does that mean?
Testing environment.
Oh, okay. Interesting. He says building Numis. Is it Numis? Tristan, change the name, dude.
Numis.
It's a cool name.
Numis.
Numis. Is a cool Numis?
Yeah. It's unique.
It's okay. Well. Has proven both challenging and rewarding. I mean, I'll grow to love it. What began as an exploratory question about feasibility has evolved into a legitimate product, taking tangible form. This non-custodial wallet MVP proves represents just the initial phase. Decision to build in public. Yeah, dude, love it. Transparency. Jelly enthusiastic about this project's direction. You're welcome to observe.
I just want him to go back to Bit. I want him to go back to Bit Escrow, so I'm always going to be kind of salty about Numis.
I mean, But to be honest, like you want builders building what they want to build. That's how I always fall
but
in line.
I thought he wanted to build Bit Escrow.
But he gave it like 4 years.
But I don't know much about it. So I'm not talking about what he gave or what he didn't give. I'm just saying I would have liked to see the Bit Escrow in the wild and really being used. That's what I was really excited. I thought.
What do you think?
No, but I mean being Topher. Being used and being promoted and.
A wallet was like the missing piece for Bit Escrow. So we talked about building a wallet, and we're both building wallets right now. So I'm sort of building a wallet on top of Froster, and then he's building a wallet, I'm excited for it.
You guys might both. Add escrow to it.
Yeah.
Your wallets.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I don't know if he's pivoted to. Cause when we talked about this originally, he wanted to still do escrow or using Bitcoin as collateral to have like a line of credit.
Okay. Cool.
So you can spend with your Bitcoin without spending your Bitcoin and to build a wallet around that concept.
So rather than finding a partner for your escrow service, basically becoming the partner. Is kind of what this would be.
Yeah, I mean, you would still need, like, because even if you lock up Bitcoin and you still need somebody to take the other side of that trade. It's not a trade, but you still need somebody to come in and give you the dollars. And so I think there was like a component here where there was a partnership with a credit card. And so the idea is like you have a wallet where you can lock up Bitcoin and get a line of credit off of it. And so you do need a partnership for that, but you might as well start building the wallet. Because I think like if you build a product, it doesn't have to be 100% functional, but if you can build a product where it sells what the vision is supposed to be, and it's like, look, this is the vision, this is how it feels, it's tangible, you can touch it, you can play with it and interact with it. Oh, by the way, here's the missing piece. Then it's a lot easier to then go to the people that can fill in that missing piece because you have everything else and you can kind of show them how it all works together.
It's kind of like OpenSecret and Maple AI, where Maple AI, they were just like dog fooding and showing an example of what OpenSecret can do in a relatively extreme example, I think, what OpenSecret is capable of. So I get that. Have you tried Lava yet?
I have not tried. I know about Lava, but I haven't like tried using
what is
product.
It? Lava what?
Lava.xyz.
Yeah.
They basically do lines of credit non-custodially.
So kind of like Galois. Didn't Galois do that?
No, they
used
DLCs here.
Yep, they used DLCs to do it.
Galois was custodial. I mean, the wallet.
Oh, but didn't Carmen? Wasn't Carmen talking about?
They might have tried to do something like this.
I feel like Carmen was talking about DLCs for the longest time about this.
Carmen worked at a DLC company.
It was SharedBits.
SharedBits.
Really cool.
Oh, okay. That makes a ton of sense.
These guys have been really going for it. I met the founder back in 2021.
So I guess, can you explain to me, because I'm like four, five. And how is this similar to Numis then?
This sounds a lot. It sounds like exactly Numis's vision. It's to create a Bitcoin wallet and then provide a bunch of financial services on top of the Bitcoin wallet. Okay. And it might be different financial services, or they might work differently. You might not want to use DLCs. Maybe use escrow instead.
Okay.
But
oh, this is Founders Fund. Wow.
Yeah,
that's big.
I mean, this use case is going to explode.
Yeah.
In the coming years.
You think so, Topher?
Yes.
Why?
The tagline. This is a tagline that Senator Loomis is saying publicly. Save in Bitcoin, spend in dollars. So that's like their whole product, the whole point of their product.
I mean, this was the vision of BitEscrow.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, wow.
And just taking this to an extreme.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Tristan, keep at it, man. I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of him. I think it's hard doing a startup, and
I think it's awesome he's doing it in public, and I love some of what I've seen.
I've always been a big fan of his design, and always been a big fan of just the way he looks at the world. We share a lot of the same like he shot me a message the other day about like Rick Rubin, and he was like, "Dude, you remind me so much of this quote right here," and I was like, "Oh, thanks, dude.
That's great.
He's just a sweetheart." But yeah. There's somebody screaming, I think.
What?
I don't know what they're screaming.
Something about a bar.
They're screaming about the after party.
Oh, cool. All right, so we got to get to the after party. Pleb Devs, he also mentioned Pleb Devs' back-end course. He said check it out because it helped them, apparently. Cool. I think that's everything. Do we have anything else left to cover? I think that's it, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I think that's it. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't think I'm doing anything as usual. I think there's a rodeo in town. I don't know if I'm going to the rodeo on the weekend, but maybe. That would be, if I'm going to do anything, that'd be what I'd do.
Yeah.
What about you? What are you doing?
I'm going to go to this after party. Are you going to the after party?
Well, I feel like the after party's coming here.
Oh, crap. Wait, I thought there was at a bar.
It is a bar, yeah.
Where is it at?
Should we shout it out?
Yeah, might as well.
Saturn Bar.
Okay, so everybody's going to Saturn Bar. So if you're watching this live in Austin, come to Saturn Bar. Is it free drinks like last night?
I think so.
Oh, pass.
I don't know whose card is going to be on file for that.
Well,
oh, yeah. Shout out to Zaprite, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
For sponsoring the after party last night.
Zaprite, like, paid for all the beers last night. That was amazing. Thank you, John. You're a legend.
And shout out to...
We'll have him on the show at some point next week before he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, shout out Parker, the Commons team, Bitcoin Park. They came into town and helped out, too. Shout out. Who else? Who else? Forget Joe. Amazing. Joe Kelly, amazing. Shout out Teresa, shout out everybody who's been a part of this, making this a special week in Austin. We love y'all. We think you're great. Shout out Marty, shout out Danny. Shout out everybody. Shout out EK. EK, actually behind the scenes, dude.
He helped us literally behind the scenes.
Dude, can you say something real quick? EK, how hard was it to put on an event? Say something.
Hello? What should I say, Carl?
How hard was it to put on the event when you're helping us?
I can't hear you over the people.
Oh, he can't hear me? Okay, never mind. Sorry. Anyways, shout out, EK. Shout out.
I got one more shout out.
Yeah, go for it.
So, I wanted to shout out Oliver real quick.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
So, I have two real quick stories to go over. So last night, we were enjoying some drinks on Zaprite's tab. So shout out to Zaprite. I was talking with Will from Lightning Bounties. Shout out to Will.
Shout out Lightning Bounties.
And Will was, he was enjoying the drinks, you know, with him and his team. And so Will decided that he was going to arrange a scavenger hunt to capture all
the
beasts.
Oliver came on the show earlier, and he talked about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah, tell us the other side of that story.
Well, yeah, so he was like, bless Will. He wanted to make sure it was a fair race, so he let everybody know that they were that the Lightning Bounties team was going to do this, so that it was like everybody had an honest, fair start, I guess. And yeah, they hopped on some scooters, drunk as a skunk in the middle of the night, and just started trying to capture beasts.
Oh, man.
You know, to stack those sats. So that's one story. And then also another story is like this afternoon, I was downstairs in the Capital One Cafe, and I ran across, I don't want to dox his name, but I ran across somebody that works there who happens to be very good friends with Oliver. And actually, for I guess like a year and a half ago, when Oliver first started, like he was just doing the education angle. This was back when we were in the Brazos location.
Yeah.
Marty was like one of his first testers of his app.
Yeah.
And I already doxed him. Sorry, Marty. But anyways.
Oh, I thought you meant Marty Bent.
No.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, yeah, he was telling me that like everything that he knows about Bitcoin was through Jippy.
Shut up, really?
Yeah. Everything, wow. And he knew nothing. Oh, wow. He said that like only thing he knew about Bitcoin was that it was a scam, and he just all he ever heard was the FUD that you hear on mainstream media.
I know Marty downstairs.
Yeah,
Teresa, he's the guy that always gives us free coffee. Oh, Marty downstairs at Capital One. Tell her what you just said.
Like super docs now. I mean, no, Marty's amazing. Like he's always just super friendly to us. He loves us. He's always hooking us up with like free drinks and stuff. You know, spreading the word.
Say
but Oliver was the one that orange pilled him through Jippy. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, come here. We got over here on this side.
Cameras over here.
Give him the mic.
So shout out to Oliver.
You want to sit down?
For orange pilling people with Jippy.
We're swapping.
Wait. Car, do you like my new jacket?
Oh yeah, show him the jacket.
Nice? Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, wait for it.
Boom!
Oh, show the camera!
Boom. Whoa!
Oh!
Wow.
I didn't realize it was from the
crazy
Donald J. Trump.
I didn't realize from that.
I'm a Trump maximalist now too. I'm Bitcoin maximalist and Trump maximalist. Okay.
This is amazing.
Car,
what have you been up to? What have you been up to?
God, a lot of things, but just looking at Bitcoin, being very excited. And just working, and you know, I have two babies, so yeah. I'm taking care of my family.
I love to hear that. I love the cowboy hat.
Thank you. I'm trying to transform into a real Texan, you know?
Topher,
you're already there.
What do you think?
Oh, good.
I'm 5 beers in, so.
Cool.
I'm just listening now.
Perfect. Well, are you guys coming to the Saturn?
Yeah, we're about to end right now.
Okay, cool.
And we're going to head over there.
Well, it's an honor to be there for the end of the show.
What do you think about Stacker News? Do you ever watch this show? Do you ever watch?
No, I don't. I don't really watch the show often, but I love Keon and everything.
You love Keon?
I'm a no-stir. Okay, listen.
Tell us why you like Keon, though, first.
I mean, he's just a great guy. He overcame a lot of adversity of what I know, and he seems to be extremely successful. So just a lot of respect for him, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
So I love Keon. The Stacker News is great. It's just I'm on Prime, no-stir.
Okay.
So that's like kind of my social media time, though I should make an effort and go on
Stacker News.
On Stacker News, because I love you guys and Keon, you know? Yeah.
Cool.
So I hope... Well, it was Pleb Lab, you know? Like, I came to Austin because of Pleb Lab. So, maybe I would have went to Miami.
Oh, God. I can't imagine you in Miami.
Oh, no, I know. I'm really from Texas.
Yeah.
So, So, that's it. So, thank you, Carr.
Thank you, Keon.
Thank you, Pleb Lab. No, thank you, Pleb Lab.
Anybody else? Got any final thoughts?
No, we're good. Let's get out of here.
Send it. Later.